Welcome back to The Takeaway. I'm Arun Venugopal. In December, the federal government recognized the Little Shell Tribe in Montana, finally giving closure to the tribe after nearly 130 years of waiting. Here's Little Shell Tribal Chairman Gerald Gray speaking at the tribe's federal recognition commemoration earlier this month.
Tonight, we commemorate an effort that no tribe should ever have to go through. But yet we celebrate the efforts of so many who have carried this torch for over 130 years. Many have passed that would have loved to see this historic day, and we honor them. We also now have to think of our future generations and build a strong nation for them.
In the late 1800s, the Little Shell Tribe of Chippewa Indians lost their ancestral land in an unequal land treaty. Without the land, they were forced to migrate, and many settled in Montana, where thousands of Little Shell Tribe members now live. For decades, the tribe has sought federal status as an indigenous tribe, opening the door to federal assistance and the ability to procure official tribal land. Joining me now to talk about this is Kevin Washburn, Dean of the College of Law at the University of Iowa. He also served as the Assistant Secretary of Indian Affairs at the U.S. Department of the Interior from 2012 to 2016. Kevin, thanks for joining me.
Happy to be here.
Tell me about this tribe. How big is it and where was it prior to Montana?
Well, it's not a large tribe. It was in the Northern Plains, and you know, a lot of the Northern Plains tribes were very nomadic. North Dakota, South Dakota, that area.
And what rights and access to federal assistance does Little Shell now have now that it's federally recognized?
Well, it now has the right to ask the Bureau of Indian Affairs for services and the Indian Health Service for services. And it also theoretically has the right to take land into trust so it can restore its land base and potentially even conduct Indian gaming.
So I guess let's try to get at the significance of federal recognition. What is the importance of a tribe receiving federal recognition?
Well, it opens access to those services, and what it means is that the United States has a relationship with the tribe, and in federal Indian law, the relationship, you know, some tribes have treaties with the United States, other tribes have a trust responsibility that the United States owes them, and the United States provides services. But without that recognition, they are a non-entity to the federal government, and so the federal government doesn't provide any of those services.
So what stands in the way of a tribe trying to get federal recognition and allows for something like this process to go on for 130 years?
Well, I wouldn't say it necessarily was going on for 130 years. You know, think of what was happening 130 years ago. The massacre at Wounded Knee happened in 1890, and, you know, women and children were murdered by the U.S. cavalry. That was 130 years ago. Mm-hmm, so It's not like the federal government was, you know, friendly during this entire time. So this process has been going on in earnest for a couple of decades. There are, you know, different ways of gaining recognition. Congress can act as it did here. And there's a small office in the Department of the Interior filled with a bunch of PhD genealogists, historians, and anthropologists that review applications. And it was also going on there. Little Shell had an application before that office for many years.
Kevin, to what extent has it become easier, if at all, for a tribe to become federally recognized?
Well, it hasn't become easier. In fact, it's probably become more difficult because anytime a community seeks that recognition, skeptics come out of the woodwork and sometimes oppose that application. Gaming has made a lot of people skeptical over recent years, and frankly, other tribes sometimes are in opposition to a new tribe being recognized because it's not like Congress is necessarily going to appropriate millions more dollars for Indian Affairs just because another tribe was recognized, so it makes the pie smaller for everybody else.
So in the case of this particular tribe, the Little Shell, what were they able to do that made the difference?
Well, a couple of things. One is other tribes in Montana were supportive. I would note that, you know, Montana's not a state with huge metropolitan areas with big gaming operations operated by other tribes. The other tribes, I think, didn't think that they had a lot to lose necessarily, and they understood the plight of the Little Shell. The other thing they did was they worked tirelessly over a couple of decades with Montana's congressional delegation to help the congressional delegation understand, you know, the merits of their case, and ultimately convince the Montana congressional delegation that this is a matter of justice, that they be recognized. And the delegation eventually agreed.
So let's step back a second. Why and when did the government start federally recognizing indigenous tribes?
Well, it's always had this obligation, in essence. I mean, you know, when the United States came to be, it had to figure out which other countries it was going to recognize and which tribes it was going to recognize. It did so in some ways by signing treaties with tribes, for example, in the, you know, 17 and 1800s. So that was a process of recognition, right? You don't, you know, that signing a treaty with a tribe is recognition of that tribe. But this, you know, history varied over time. And, you know, reflecting back to, you know, the late 1800s, it was a dark time for federal policy and tribes. And, you know, the federal government was not kind to tribes. And so some tribes, they didn't want to be recognized by the federal government because recognition might have been a bad thing. It might have meant that the cavalry was coming out for a visit, right? Mm-hmm. So the United States has sort of always had this practice going on of trying to figure out, you know, who are the tribes. And tribes, you know, have over time have sometimes have had soft boundaries, right? Groups that, you know, live with one another for a while and then break up and move apart. And does that mean it's a separate tribe now? You know, there's questions like that. So it's not always simple. Someone that signed a treaty 100 years ago, maybe, you know, three different groups today, or maybe, you know, people that signed separate treaties have now combined. And, you know, that did happen to some degree.
When he spoke to High Country News, Little Shell Tribal Chairman Gerald Gray had this to say: "We had to go through a system that the federal government put in place, the same government that tried to get rid of Indians. I don't like it, but it's a system we were forced to operate under, and we did it. They get to tell me I'm Indian now." Kevin, what do you think of this system?
Well, it's an imperfect system, but it's the only one we have. You know, ultimately, Little Shell got recognized by Congress, and Congress has its legitimacy, you know, from the people. And so if Congress says a tribe is a tribe, that's enough, right? This Office of Federal Acknowledgement at the Department of Interior is a, you know, it's a group of PhDs, and they get their legitimacy by being very rigorous and applying very strict criteria, and they do that, and that's where they get their legitimacy. If they acted willy-nilly, they might not be trusted to do this work. And so I don't think it's a perfect system, but, you know, what justice ultimately prevailed here because Little Shell was recognized.
Kevin Washburn is a former Assistant Secretary of Indian Affairs at the U.S. Department of the Interior. Kevin, thanks so much.
Happy to be here. Thank you.
And we reached out to Little Shell Tribal Chairman Gerald Gray for today's show, but he was unable to join us.